So we're moving on through this whole section, which is called Mabad HaEmes, the outlook of absolute truth. And we've been discussing over the past few weeks the idea of coming to an unbiased decision, unbiased view of truth. And we said all of us struggle with this because all of us have our own interests, our own biases, our own agendas. And therefore, it's very hard to see things objectively because we already have something influencing how we see things. So he's going to move on this week to two more points, very important points relevant to the same topic. So one section, the first one we'll do is called Dama Shetashiv. Dama Shetashiv refers to the Mishnah on Avos. Dama Shetashiv Apikoros, you have to know how to answer Apikoros, a heretic. I mean, somebody who does not have any Torah background or knowledge or has it and uses it in order to fight against Torah, Chas V'Shalom. So we have to have answers in our own minds. And many Mefarshim discuss how the answers are not necessarily to go out and fight the Apikoros. The answers are actually just for us to be confident in our beliefs. So he says here a very interesting thing. Rav Dessler says, let's talk about a non-observant Jew who's coming to look into Yiddishkeit. For the first time, coming to explore Torah. And they're relying upon their own mind, meaning the person does not have any real guide or any real Rebbe, any real teacher or mentor to teach them, but they're relying upon their own understanding, their own seichel, their own das, to try to have their first approach to Torah. Abayos, ekronios, and they're dealing with very, very fundamental questions. Kagon in nivra olam betachlis mechuvenes. Let's say, like, is the world created for a purpose? Meaning, think about the most basic questions of Torah. Is there a purpose to life? Was creation with a purpose? Im adam achroya vormaisav, is a person responsible for their deeds? Uchadome. So you have someone who is non-observant, coming from no background in Torah, addressing, again, the most fundamental shilohs of life. So let's assume, he says, the person is intelligent, is learned, is bright. So they have a mind which is able to handle difficult questions. But we're talking about a person who never actually entered into the world of working on midos or musr, because they weren't observant, they weren't from. Means somebody who's not observant, they try to be good people, but they don't actually understand what it means to work on specific midos the way we do. So this person might have a very, very sharp mind, but they've never actually had the chance to work on their midos, to understand through the world of Musar, through the world of Machshava, how they function. So how are they supposed to address these very, very central questions of life? And the person is coming from really no background, trying to seek out truth in the right way. But the problem is, we've described, when their midos are in the way, they're not going to see it accurately. So he says, Kishish ba hazeh, balachkor abayos ekronios. So a person like this comes to address fundamental questions. Al nona ramis atzmeinu lomar shu adish legamri legabe maskanos, alternativos. So don't think the person is totally removed from other possible, you know, decisions or understandings. We already learned that everybody's influenced by their own personal agenda, like it or not. You know, it's subconscious very, very often, but because it's there, we're influenced by it. It does very much give us at least a slight bias, if not more. How is the person supposed to address these fundamental questions of life if they've ever actually worked on their midos, and where is it coming from? So what he's putting into perspective is that when we speak about how to answer somebody who doesn't have a Torah background, is addressing these issues, and you try to explain to them rationally and logically, it's challenging because the same issue applies to them as applies to every human being, which is that they're seeing the world through a bias. So he says here at the end, I'm skipping a little bit, he says here at the end, Al-Kain Zed Varin Apikoros. So the way you respond to the Apikoros is this. I mean, this is not necessarily the practical conversation to have, but at least to understand the attitude behind it, is you have to say, B'ma'atah Ba'alin, how are you coming to approach Torah? How are you casting judgment? B'sechlucha, with your mind? Kol zman shemidos secha ra'os b'mkoman. When your bad midos are still in place, within the recesses of your heart. R'sechlucha eino sechel. Your sechel is not really sechel. U'maskanos secha eino maskanos. And your decisions are not 100% objective. So we have to know when you're dealing with an Apikoros, you're dealing with somebody, again, or somebody just who's not from, who's approaching Torah for the first time, they're not seeing it totally objectively either. Not to their fault, it's like all of us, but especially somebody who's never had the opportunity to work on Midos, certainly they're going to have a little bit of a skewed vision in order to answer these questions. A person like that can certainly make mathematical calculations, make technical decisions, because there's no personal ramification to that. Whether or not 5 plus 5 is 10 or 9 doesn't necessarily impact your actions. It might impact how you buy things in a store or something, but it doesn't impact your moral actions. But when you're dealing with questions that hit the core of life, over there, these things have a kesher with your core, with your deepest desires and wills. So how can a person understand this as absolute truth when they already have other agendas in mind? A person is going to see things through what's comfortable for them, through their perspective, through their glasses, their lenses. And this is the Yitzhahara will take this on when he is looking for philosophy, as it were. Meaning, when somebody has bad midos, has not perfected midos in any way, and they start looking at issues of Ashkafa. So Yitzhahara says this is an opportunity now, because I can influence what they think is actually objective truth through the bad midos they have. I mean, this very much it fits with what we said last week. We learned last week Rav Yochanan Wasserman's Kovas Maimarim, and he spoke about how the greatest minds of history are all biased as well. They don't come to objective conclusions, because they know if they do, it's going to impact their life. If they believe in a God, they have to act in a different way. So that's exactly what Rav Dessler is saying here, that so somebody's coming even to explore Torah in the proper way, being that they're already influenced by other things, you have to be able to understand that anything that you respond to that person is not going to be taken totally objectively or rationally, because there's other things going on within their own mindset. So it's an attitude to understand that if someone does not accept the answer you give, it's not because you're wrong, it's not because the answer the Torah has is not clear or objective, it's because the person has their own biases within. Now the next section he calls Torah's Emes. Torah's Emes is now coming to, we'll call it, counteract or come up against everything we've said before. Meaning, until now we've been saying how we're all biased and our decisions are always tainted in some way. We have our own agendas, our own interests, our own will. So, but Torah's Emes. Torah is absolute truth. So if we want to understand, what do you do to access absolute truth? So the ultimate way to do that is through Torah. Torah is giving you pure, unadulterated truth, if you're taking it from the source. It's important to take it from the right sources, meaning you have to make sure the person teaching you seems to be objective. If you want it from a sefer, you have to make sure that you can understand the sefer clearly. But something which is Torah, we know is pure, absolute, untainted, unadulterated truth. If it's actually Torah, it's Torah's Emes. Torah's absolute truth, and whatever Torah says, if understood correctly, is true. So he says, we know it's a long way for us personally to reach the stage where we're not influencing our decisions. It's tough, because it means working very hard on our midos. So what are we supposed to do then? Meaning, if it's such a hard road, and you know, everyone has to work on their midos, working on midos is a lifetime of work, it's very difficult, it's grueling, it's a lot of self-discipline, a lot of focus. So what do we do then? How do we actually come out with honest decisions? Who's going to guide us? Who's going to teach us? So he says a mashal. It's similar to a blind man who has to walk on a road he doesn't know. I mean, somebody who's blind, if it's in their neighborhood, so most people who are blind know the neighborhood, and they're able to get around, they know where the streets are, they know where the signs are, they know where the stores are, because they're used to it. Somebody who is blind and is in a new area they're not familiar with, what do they do? So you call it bikeach l'nalo. So they have to take somebody who has vision to guide them. They have to find a guide. Or ask questions. Meaning, if you're blind and you don't know the area, you have to find a guide. You have to find someone who's going to be able to lead you around, or at least direct you, so you know where to go. So it's the same thing with us. Hashem has given us guides in life. So because our own decisions, our own conclusions often are tainted or biased, we have to make sure there's some objective people around us who can guide us and teach us what to do. So who do we have for that? So first we have Chazal. We have the great Chachamim of the Mishnah, of the Gemara, of the Midrashim, the Tanayim, the Amorayim, and these are people that we look at as objective minds that are conveying Torah in its truest form. Chachmei Torah, asher kumas bonim b'divrayim, yirad kama esed riyasa behira. And the more you learn Divrei Chazal, the more you see how clear and untainted, uncorrupted their views were. B'gosha nefesh shel atzman v'shel kol adam. You learn about the people themselves, and you learn about, and they understood people, and they understood how people work. And they understood the way which people should go on to do good. So when we learn all the time, when we hear shiurim, we learn, we're spending most of our time really delving into the words of Chazal. That's what we're doing. Because we see that Chazal, the Chachamim of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they're the ones conveying to us the purest, the clearest form of Torah which we have. The Chumash itself, you can't learn from directly so easily. Torah Shebichsav needs a Perish. We understand that Torah Shebalpeh is the Perish of Torah Shebichsav. And Torah Shebichsav alone, you can't paskin from. We don't know what the Pesukim mean without some sort of Perish on them. We need a Perish. So Torah Shebalpeh for us is really, it's the conduit. It's what Hashem gave us to really understand what His Ratzon is. And who do we have to teach us Torah Shebalpeh? The Torah Shebalpeh comes from Chazal. Chazal, what we have now is as the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Midrashim, the Zohar. I mean, these are all different works of Torah Shebaal Peh. And these are where we take, in our minds, the most clear, direct, unadulterated, untainted, uncorrupted form of Torah. So those are our guides. Like the blind man wandering around in the uncharted streets, he has to ask for guidance, so we look towards Chazal for our guidance. There's a very famous mashal given by the Mesil Sesharim, he quotes over here. So the Ramchal gives us an incredible mashal for this. In Mesil Sesharim, Mishlo, Hamaforsam, Shogan Mavucha. He describes a maze. You ever go to one of these farms, they have like a corn maze. So you go inside, and you're wandering around, you have no clue where to go, you're at a dead end, you end up back at the door again, you have no clue how to get around, you're confused, you're going in circles. So Mesil Sesharim gives that mashal. Halofein Hashvilim, Hulo Yuchal Luros Tadas Klal, So somebody who is walking on a path, and you're in one of these mazes, so you don't know if you're on the correct path or you're on a false path. This is leading you to nowhere. It might lead to a dead end. Kikulam shavim, vein hefresh b'neihem, vein roosam, because all the paths look the same, and there's no difference. So you don't know. All I see around me is bushes, is corn. I mean, I don't see anything around me, so I don't know what's right and what's wrong. But the Ramchal says this famous mashal, you have in the middle of these mazes, often a platform, and the people who've made it to the platform have made it through the maze, and they can be up on top, and they can see the maze. And they can see all the pathways, and they can tell which ones are actual pathways to get you to your goal, and which ones are just dead ends. And they can see it because they've been through it, they're looking from a higher vantage point, and they know. So if you're standing on that platform, you can then guide those who are down the maze and tell them, Zeh der chuba, this is the way to go. So if you want to listen to the person who's on the platform, you'll reach your destination, if you trust them. If you don't want to believe them, you want to follow your own eyes, you'll end up lost for a long time and not make it to the goal. So you have somebody who knows the way to go. They've done it. It's tried and tested, and they're not looking from a higher vantage point. They can see exactly what the road is. You say, "Nah, I'm gonna do it myself. I'm gonna have my own eyes, my own seichel. I'm not gonna listen to these other people." So what happens? You end up wandering around this maze for hours. You're totally lost. If you listen to the person in the middle, so then you'd get to the goal. So obviously, if you're doing it for fun, then yeah. So just give it a try. If you get lost, then great, because it's for fun. But if it's the maze of life, you're trying to make the right choices in life, trying to get to your right goals in life, and you're not taking the guidance of those who know better, who see things from a higher vantage point, you're being foolish. Why would you want to waste your time wandering around dead ends when you can actually get to the goal? Again, if it's a game, then fine. But if it's real life, then you want to do the real thing. So that's what it's like when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Mishadayin l'mashal b'yitzro. Somebody who has not yet taken control of the Yitzhara. So you're still wandering on the paths. I mean, you have great people who've already conquered a lot of the Yitzhara. They have a lot of self-control. They know the tricks of the trade. They know what the problems are. They know how to solve them. And they've already made it. You have people out there who haven't made it quite yet. We're still working on it. So you have somebody who's not yet Moshe B'Yitzro, who does not yet rule over the Yitzhara. He still is very much falling prey to Yitzhara. So he can't tell which is the right path. Am I about to go down the Yitzhara's path, the Yitzhara Tov's path? I don't know. Acha Moshlim B'Yitzrom. But people who actually rule, who already have achieved the level that they have control of the Yitzhara, they've already conquered their midos, they've already excelled in Vodas Hashem, Shragil Achsadros, so they've made it up to the platform. Great people. Vro Kol Drachim Leinayim Bebiror, they can see all of the different pathways. Himichon Leyoyetz Mishi Yirtzel Mishmoa, Veileyam Tzrichim Anu Lahamin. So they're able to give advice to those who want to hear, and we have to believe them, and we should believe them. So this is the Mishnah Sarma's mashal, and it's such an important mashal, because that's how we view the great people out there. There's great people, the reason they're great is because they've already achieved incredible feats, which we hope to achieve. So if they've already done it, why reinvent the wheel? Take their guidance. Why get yourself lost for several years? Speak to them, try to see how they did what they did, get from their vantage point, get the view of MS, and work towards it. Don't be that guy lost in the maze, be the one who makes it to the middle. That's what we're looking for. So this is how we, if we're not holding at the point where we have a clear, unbiased view of life, this is why we need to have people who are mentors, guides, rebbeim, role models, and people to look towards and say, please give me direction because I don't know what to do. And these people, we hope, have already achieved something. If you take someone as your mentor, you hope that they've actually achieved that which you're trying to achieve, and therefore you listen to them and they help to guide you. So that's what it says, Mizeh Yotze, Lanu Geder Amunus Chachamim. So from this, this is what we call Amunus Chachamim. Amunus Chachamim means we have faith in Chachamim. It's one of the 48 ways, it says Pirkei Avos, to acquire Torah. It's really one of the basics of Yiddishkeit, is that we trust our Chachamim. It's a basic of Torah. The true meaning of the word Apikoros, it's usually somebody in some way or another who rejects the Chachamim. That's where that word comes from. We use it for heretics in all their forms. But the real meaning based on Chazal is people who reject the Chachamim. Because for us, the Chachamim are really the basis of how we understand Torah. Mishrotza ham lehem, we call it amunah, you have to have amunah Chachamim, you have to believe them. If you want to believe the Chachamim, yuchu ishtamish b'riyasim b'hiros, you can utilize their clear vision. And they can become our eyes. It's a pasuk that we just saw in last week's parsha. You've been eyes for us. So being eyes for us means we can see things through your eyes. It's the Sanhedrin was referred to as the Einei Ha'eda, the eyes of the congregation. So one meaning of that phrase is that because they can see clearly. Sanhedrin is supposed to rule for us and tell us clear rulings about what's right, what's wrong, what's mutter, what's aser, what's tahor. It's a clarity. They're the Einei Ha'eda. So through the words of the Chachamim, we're able to actually understand a straight, honest, unbiased view of Hashkafa and of action, what to do, of our conduct. So that's number one. So we have to look towards Chachamim. We have to be able to accept what they explain and they teach us, how they guide us. And that we trust is giving us a very, very clear, straight, unbiased view on life. The more we become students of these Chachamim, and we try to understand the way they're thinking, this also straightens out our own minds. And this is a very important point. The whole problem is that we're looking at our minds as being somewhat corrupt. Not to our fault, but because we're human beings, and we have our own agenda sometimes, our own desires, we have our own biases. So how do you straighten out your mind? What do you do? So you mentioned before, as soon as your mind begins to become crooked and corrupt, it can end up going way off. Because as soon as you have a thought process which isn't 100% honest and straight. So everything comes viewed through that skewed thought process. When you have a chacham, so the chacham says, I think you should do X. So one thing you could do is just say, I'm a kabbal. I'm listening, I'll do as you say. I'm not trying to understand it. And so that might help you do the right thing, but it won't help you understand the world better. The next stage is to say, no, I'll do what you say, but let me understand why you're saying it. Because the more you're able to put your mind in tune, in sync, with actual honest, unbiased thoughts, honest and unbiased thought processes, so then that actually straightens your mind. It's like an exercise. Exercises your mind. And the more your mind can think straight, then think straight in all areas of life. Now, one of the great advantages we have of Limud Torah is that the more Torah you learn, you're letting Torah ideas, Torah's emes, go through your mind, so your mind's going to see things from that perspective. Someone doesn't learn any Torah, so then your mind's not going to be able to take in the way the Torah sees the world, and therefore your mind still remains a little bit biased or corrupt. But the more the Torah can actually go through your mind, and you know, they say the word brainwash is a bad word, but you know, basically wash out the corruption in our minds and give us a straight view on life. So it trains us how to think once again in a very straight way. So it's not just about listening and taking the guidance of the chacham, but understanding why they said what they said. Think about it. You know, when boys sit and learn Gemara and Yeshiva, so they're not just sitting and translating, they're thinking, why is it this way? Why not a different way? Why is this the Svarah? Is that not the Svarah? But this is, I have a kasha on this, how do I answer that? Because we're understanding that the Gemara is right, the Rishon is right, the word what they're saying is correct. I need to bring myself to understanding that. So I begin saying, I don't understand what this Gemara means. It doesn't make sense to me. But the more you work at it, so then you're bringing your mind close to what the Gemara is saying, and you're thinking through the eyes of the Gemara. It's true with any part of the Torah. Any Torah you learn. So the goal is that this should enter into the way I see the world. And I should see the world in a very unbiased, untainted way, because I'm seeing it now through the lenses of Torah's MS, and not through the lenses of my own personal thought process. I could be right sometimes, I could be wrong sometimes, but as long as I know what I'm doing is I'm trying to understand the Torah, so I'm trying to bring my mind to that place. I mean, the goal of Limud Torah is you're bringing your mind to understand the Torah. Because you're going to say, if the Torah says it, it's right. If my mind doesn't understand it, then my mind is off. I have to bring my mind to be calibrated with the Torah. And that's the goal. It's a calibration of the mind. It's syncing of the mind with the Torah itself. It continues, L'fichach gedolei dorosenu asher asa chayim l'hamshich k'tamidim nemanim. So the gedolim, they always continue in their lives as talmidim of previous doros. I mean, we always find, you know, we call someone a talmid chacham, he's a talmid, because he has a rabbi that guides him. So he's not just a chacham, he's a talmid chacham. There's a mesora. There's a mesora we try to stick to, because we're always trying to learn from the previous generation. And we're always trying to be, and every single Adam Gadol, every single Chacham, is a Talmud Neman, is a faithful student of Chazal. Because ultimately we're all trying to understand the Torah Mesinai, which is what we have conveyed through Chazal to us. Zochim liyashros zumi natsumba, and the more that one is able to do that, the more one's able to be zochim to yashros, to a straight, unbiased, honest thought process. At shechavos daitam, afil dvarm she'en lem makora meforash, until a person reaches a point where wherever they express themselves, even when there's no official source in the Gemara or in the Chumash or something, even if they're giving you advice, we say this person thinks in a straight way. The Talmud Chacham, even when he's giving you advice in something nothing to do with a Gemara or a Pasuk in the Chumash or a Shulchan Aruch, but it's just life advice for life. You say this person knows how to think. This person is able to see things from a different perspective. This person is able to see things from a different angle because they think in a very straight, honest way, and therefore I'll take their guidance. Bruva mitas kashisha ish bedvar elokim hosherom beinenu gam bedor hazeh. So it says in Shmuel Beis that people will go ask Nevi'im all sorts of things. But why? Because not just for halacha or not just for nevuas, but because they were people who could think and give you straight, clear advice. So therefore, they'd ask them all sorts of questions. This point's a very important point. There's something called Shimush Chachamim. So there's Emunas Chachamim. Emunas Chachamim is you trust what they say. But there's also Shimush Chachamim, which is a servant Chacham. When it means a servant, it does not necessarily mean to bring them coffee. But what it means is to be able to experience great people, be around them. We learned this from Elisha. Elisha was the greatest Talmud of Eliyahu Navi. But it says in the Gemara, it points out from the Pasuk, that when Elisha is introduced, he's introduced not as Eliyahu's greatest student. It says, this is Elisha, Asher Yotzak Mayim, Eliyahu. This is Elisha that poured water on Eliyahu's hands. So it says, the Gemara says, from there we see, Gadol Shimusha Sumuda, that serving a Chacham is even greater than learning from him. So the serving of the Chacham, the point is not that I poured water on his hands. The point is that I got to experience the person and see how they look at life. I mean, you can always go and ask a Tam Chacham for a psak. Is my pot kosher or treif? Can I do this on Shabbos or not? So you're getting the answer, you're getting the halacha. But you're not learning how to think and how to act like this great person acts. But you actually serve them, meaning the way you interact with them in daily life. So you're able to actually see and experience how they deal with everyday life issues. How does a great person talk to his family? How does a great person drive in a car? How does a great person go to a store? How does a great person interact with a bank clerk? Whatever the situation is, you see a person who thinks straight based on Torah. How do they involve themselves in life in all ways? Not just in the world of halacha and hashkafa, but in all ways. Because it's all a matter of a person who's able to think based on the emes. Anybody who's had the privilege of spending time with great people beyond just hearing a shir or giving a psak, you can learn a lot just from being around them. The Gemara says, the pasuk alu lo yibol, says their leaves never wither in the first parak of Tehillim. And the Gemara says, "Afil sichas chul shetam chum sarich iyun." I think it says sarich limud. It says that even a sichas chul in everyday, mundane speech of a Talmud Chacham, you should learn from. Requires learning, because if it's coming from a Talmud Chacham, then it's coming from a source of emes. And they, even their everyday, mundane speech, there's something to gain from that as well. So shimush chachamim is kind of a ticket to learning how to see the world in a different way. And these things, it's not just picking up lessons, but it's actually able to straighten your mind out. Because the more you experience how this person thinks and acts, the more you can experience how to straighten your mind out in the right way. Now I think that's not just about a Talmud Chacham, but anyone great. People that you look at as great people. Rebbetzins that you respect. There's even friends that you know have achieved a lot and done a lot of great things that you really respect and cherish. So you look at them and you spend time with them, you see how they interact with people and how they live their lives, how they conduct themselves. And you gain so much, because these people are people who are in the platform in the middle of the maze. They're not still running around in amongst the bushes, but they're on the platform. So anybody who's meant to the platform, you can gain from. So being mishamish them, being with them, and it's just spending time interacting with them is going to help you gain a lot and help you out to see how to think. So chachamim are so great. They're so great they can reach this purity of heart. Because they have absorbed Torah in their hearts. And they cling to Torah with all their strength. All the Torah is emes, it's from Shemayim. Zosemeres, muram in erech mitzimtzum adam negiyosaf. Torah is totally elevated beyond our own limited vision. And this is also very important for us to understand. We said Torah is absolute emes. Everything in Torah is seeing the world from its totally true perspective. There's no biases, no negios, and no ulterior motives or agendas. It's pure emes from Shemayim. And therefore, when a person is able to learn Divrei Torah, these are things which really encompass everything about life. As it says here, that when you learn Torah, your idea, your goal is to be able to allow the Torah to help you rise up above everything else. I would say that every time you learn Torah, so if we were very good about focusing and growing from it, so we would say, how does this idea, how does this thought help me see the world differently? How does it let me rise up a little bit more above the daily grind and see things from the bigger vantage point? How does it get me closer to the platform in the middle of the maze? Because Torah is that. Torah is the directions. If you had a map inside the maze, then you know where to go. Torah is the map. The word Torah itself means instructions. That's what Torah means. It comes to the word like a mora, like a teacher. Mora Derech is someone who guides you. Torah is a guide. Torah is our instruction. That's literally what the word means. And those instructions are the instructions of the absolute truth, absolute directions of what's the right path to go in life. It's a matter of using it for that way. If you have a map but don't know how to read it, so it doesn't do you much good. If you have a map and you misread it, then it does even worse. It sends you in the wrong direction. But if you have a map, you know how to read it, so it brings you to the right place that you're supposed to go. So Torah is able to help us rise up above the tzimtzum of Adam, you know, our smallness, and our negios, and see things from two perspectives. So you say, my mind on its own right is not going to necessarily come to the right conclusion. But if I know what I'm doing is Alpi Torah, I know it's right. And that's why it's so important that we always get that guidance from Chachamim. Obviously, a halacha, we have to get a proper psak. But the idea is that, because when I'm doing the Alpi Torah, I know it's right. When I'm doing it based on my own decision, then I don't know if it's right or not. I might think it's right, I can hope it's right, but I don't know if it's right. It's not as simple as it sounds, because sometimes you have to find that Chachma can guide you. People are flawed, people are human, and they can make mistakes, so there's nothing is perfect. But at least I know if I go to Chacham, I've done my best to get a pure, objective, unadulterated guidance. Daita vashkafasa, tahoros lagamri mikol arpilei chomer, mefilim bad rayasenu. So das Torah, the hashkafa of Torah, is totally pure. It rises above all the clouds of the physical, which cloud our vision. Magalu chas de Hashem ashehorid al toch chashchenu chemda gnuzazu. So how great is Chesed of Hashem, that Hashem gave us this special treasure in our darkness. It's the light, Torah Or. It's the light. It helps us be able to see through the darkness. Because then, even in our lowly matzav, our lowly standing that we have, we can see things from a true, clear perspective. But how does it work? We have to be able to submit our das to das Torah. Belimuda, through our learning, Basham Salvenu, putting it into our hearts, overcome Yitzhahara through our actions. This is how we're going to free ourselves from our own biases and see things clearly. So this is a very important line, because it's only as much as we're going to submit ourselves to Torah. Meaning, often we might hear something in terms of a Torah, Hashkafa, and Halacha, and it doesn't sit well with us. Maybe we want to go against it, or we don't fully accept it, even if we do it. So then we're not actually allowing the clear vision of Torah to seep into us. But if I say, okay, that's the halacha, I'm going to accept it, and I'm also going to understand it. This is the hashkafa that was given by my role model, my guide, my mentor, my rav, whoever gave it, and I accept this person as someone who's on top of the maze. So I'm going to take it, and I'm not just going to follow it, but I'm going to try to understand it, because that's going to bring me, that's going to help be miyasher my das. It's going to straighten out my mind and calibrate it to Das Torah. That's our goal. So this is a very important section, because this is really, you know, if we want to give an answer to everything we discussed in the past few weeks, you know, we're constantly coming out with biased decisions. It's harder things to see things objectively. One way to do it is spend a lifetime of Avodas Midos, which Mirtzo Hashem, we all grow in that way, but it's a lifetime of work. You can work on your Midos, you can make sure that there's no gaiva involved, there's no taiva, there's no kas, there's no selfishness. You know, you can make sure that all those midos are out of you, and therefore your decision is clear, which we all hope we can do, and that's beautiful, but that's a lifetime of work, and it doesn't work instantly overnight. And if I have a decision to make tomorrow, it won't help me if I in 10 years can conquer a certain midah. So what do? So we have to understand Torah's emes. I have to bring myself to the Torah. I have to allow my mind to calibrate itself to Torah's emes. I have to have guides that guide me through Torah, people who've already been through it, who know it, who have reached this purity of their das and who can guide me. And then I have to have a munusacham, I have to trust them, and I have to spend time to understand them. If I do that, I can really reach a level of clarity which I couldn't have on my own otherwise. So it's a very important point, everyone really in life, it's so important to have those mentors, role models. Again, it could be Rabbanim, it could be friends, it could be community members, it could be family members, but people who you look at and respect, and you think that these people have a very clear way to see the world. And when you have that, you're able to say, you know, you're on the platform, so how did you get there? Guide me where I should go, because you made it onto that platform. And I think everyone has in life people around them are like that, but it's a matter of how much we latch onto them and how much we take in, you know, their guidance and their lessons from what they teach. I think it's a good place to stop for the week. Any questions? Okay. Everyone should have a wonderful week.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too.